Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
I received an email from our good friend on this program, Dr. Eric Kam, macroeconomics professor at Toronto Metropolitan University, about a week and a half ago. And Dr. Kam, who is beloved by his students, and I read you some of the comments on the Rape My Professor site a while back, and he's really beloved by his students. He's beloved by our listeners. I put up with him. Seriously, I like him a lot. He's a good friend, great friend, personal friend. Dr. Kam received an email from a student who's Jewish, and that email was very, very touching. And Eric, thank you very much for sharing that email with me. And thank you for coming on the program with your student who had something very important to say during these days, these times, when Jewish students at our post-secondary institutions find themselves in precarious situations, unsupported far too frequently by university administrations. That's across Canada. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Roy, although I have to tell you that as much as I love being on your show, I think it's one of the biggest honors of my life. Today's not a day that I ever wanted to join you to talk about something other than interest rates and inflation. But I did receive an email this week from a student, and I'll let her speak for herself. I wouldn't want to put words in her mouth. And it absolutely broke my heart when the thesis of her letter was that I helped her to be on a new campus. And of course, it really threw me back that this had to be said, because I work in an academic environment, Roy, and I'll be brief, where we hear lots of things like equity, diversity, and inclusion are in our DNA, and we should bring our whole selves to work. But the longer that I'm in my institution and around other academic institutions, I realize that so many of those feelings are hollow and they don't somehow apply to Jewish students. And again, I will let you speak to her and I can interject, but it is a very, very scary place being on a campus right now. And I'll just give you one example that this week you may have seen, many people saw on social media, an email intercepted from our sociology department where they accused Jewish students of genocide, educide, scholasticide, epistemicide, a bunch of, in my opinion, meaningless terms that all meant let's reinforce to all of our students that Israel is 100% in the wrong and try to silence their voices. And I will leave it there, Roy, until called upon, because I think the focus of today should be your chat with my student.
Well, I'm glad to do that, but I think you have to be a very significant part of this, Eric, because your student Emma, and she said we could use her first name, your student Emma thinks so very highly of you, and you've made such a huge impression and provided her with the courage to step forward and be proud of who she is. We lost a few seconds of what you said, but I'm sure we're going to make that up. Emma, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it. What do we need to know about life on campus for Jewish students who don't have Dr. Kam on their side or explaining things as they should be explained?
First of all, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to Dr. Kam for always being such an amazing professor, and it really did inspire me. For most students on campus that are Jewish, it can be a very scary place. A lot of times, you're only junior class, and sometimes even in your program, or even in some of your schools if you're in a smaller college. And you can feel very alone, because oftentimes it's Jewish students that are actively Jewish or that are outspoken, are constantly doxxed or posted about online, and they come across as a lot of hateful speeches. And people, I remember thinking of the year, people that I knew that I was Jewish, they didn't want to sit next to me anymore or work on group projects. And it can be really hard. You can feel very alienated and really want to hide your Judaism. But it's so, so important that you don't, that any other Jewish student listening, that you don't hide who you are. because that's what their whole goal is. They want to intimidate you. They want you to hide. But I mean, Dr. Kim really showed me that it's so important to be proudly Jewish and to let people know you're Jewish. It's a form of advocacy. There are the people that go to protests, and then there's people that are actively being Jewish. And I think that's really important.
In your email, do you mind if I read a couple of lines from your email to Dr. Kam?
Sure, go ahead.
In the email that you sent to Dr. Kam, first of all, you said, as today was the last class, I just had a couple of things I needed to say to you. First of all, thank you. You are not only an amazing professor, but you have really inspired me this semester in a number of ways. Sometimes it's very hard to be a Jewish student in class before your class. I really never talked about it, especially after October. When students asked me what I did over summer or on the weekend, I stayed neutral, and I especially never brought up Israel. I'm so in awe of not only your courage to talk about who you are, this is addressed to Dr. Kam, but also the unwavering support that you show. You should know that your name has been brought up in Hillel. Whenever someone says they have a teacher that talks about Judaism positively, people automatically ask if it's you. So Dr. Kam, in his communication with you, Emma, inspired you to not be afraid, to stand up for who you are, for what you believe, and not disappear into the shadows any longer.
Yeah, I think you've said it very well. That's what he really inspired me to do. And I think if for a lot of other Jewish students, it's really important for them too.
So is the environment in the post-secondary education institutions in this country now for Jewish students, would you say that it's dangerous? Have you heard that it's dangerous? Is that stepping out too far? And would you be fair to add to that the administration of post-secondary education institutions? We should bring Dr. Kam in on this as well. Are not there sufficiently frequently to stand by their Jewish students? Would that be a fair thing to state?
It would be very fair, Roy, and in fact, it might even be overly generous. The reality is that Jewish students, Jewish faculty are, to use an expression, being hung out to dry. And we know that if this was any other group, and I'm not going to mention them, but if this was any other group in society, there would be hell to pay for the language that faculty and students are being called, for the way that they're being harassed from the second they get off the subway at either college or Dundas, to the way that they're spoken to on the campus. I mean, I know that the people who are committing these ridiculous acts, I know that they call themselves progressive, but let me tell you, that is baloney. There's nothing more regressive than these people that are just backing this truck up to 1933 and trying to threaten Jewish students and faculty to stay off of the campus. And again, if you want evidence, I sent you emails mm-hmm. where people are referred to as Zios, brain dead Zios, and one faculty member, and I won't give her name because I wouldn't give her the honor, said that these Zios are so beneath me, I don't care to filter my voice when I talk about them. Roy, I'm going to say it. If I put in there, instead of Zios, indigenous people, black people, what do you think would happen to me? I'll give you the answer, Roy. I'd be knocking on your door for a job tomorrow.
Yeah, and appropriately. So it's acceptable. It's acceptable to attack Jews in this manner. It's become acceptable. And it didn't just become acceptable over the last couple of months. People who have these feelings have had them for a long period of time. Emma, when you decided that you were going to no longer live in the shadows, as we said earlier, what was that like for you? What was the response when you stepped forward?
It wasn't kind of like I stepped forward. It was that now that I'm in my economics class, me and Dr. Kam would talk about the Judaism things. And people now, like, I think there's hundreds of people watching the Zooms, and then actually in class, there's a couple hundred. So people in my program started to know I was Jewish. And sometimes, like, I would get questions or, like, stopped in the hallway and, like, ask questions. And normally it was like, oh, I just recognize you from class. But sometimes it was more. It was like questions about like, oh, so we support Israel and things like that. But I haven't, I guess because it's only been for like past like month or so, I haven't felt it as much as some other people have felt it. Like I've got friends that were like kicked out of parties and out of student clubs for like being a Jewish and being Zionist. And yeah, but so far I haven't felt as much as I thought I would.
I think for the remaining time that we have, you, Emma, should be talking to Dr. Cam, and Dr. Cam, you should be speaking to Emma, because you are the protagonists in this tale. I'm just getting immersed in it, so I think you should be talking to each other, and I'll sit on the sidelines and listen.
Emma, why don't you go first?
Okay. So you've obviously mentioned some negative backlash you've gotten, like administrators who say terrible things, but have you ever gotten any messages from like, students that have been like anti-Zionist or like something like that?
Yes, unfortunately, faculty are not immune. Students are not immune. Nobody's immune on our campus right now. I consider myself very, very blessed. Roy knows this. He often says your students love you. They don't love me as much as I love them. And I have a very good rapport with my students. So while my run-ins have been thankfully minimal, and I've taught 55,000 students since I got to TMU. Who emails me a picture of Arafat or a Jewish star with a red line through it. And I really don't mean to sound tough because, well, Emma's never met me in person because my course is virtual, but I'm 5'5". I'm pretty small, but I don't get pushed around easily. And the fact that you just said students are getting kicked out of student groups for being Jewish just emboldens me to come online and speak in front of thousands of students about being Jewish. So without meaning to sound full of hubris or ego, I don't get pushed around easily. So if the people that feel so awful about themselves that they need to throw invectives at me, I say bring it on, because I'm not going to be able to fix them.
Yeah.
And so since this is the Q&A portion of the show, Roy apparently has left me host. I have one quick question for you. What do you want other Jewish students on our campus or other campuses to know?
Mm-hmm. So I think the most important thing is that to know that there are like resources and spaces out there to help you and for a safe place to go to. And there may not be a student, like student groups that you necessarily feel safe in or comfortable in, but there are certain groups, like you mentioned, like Hillel and certainly like many different ones that are really there as safe spaces for Jewish students to feel comfortable in, to talk about. And those are really important. It's important to feel involved and to not hide who you are, because their whole point is to intimidate you and to make you hide your Judaism. And you can't hide and be proud at the same time. Like you kind of have to choose. So I think it's just really important to be proud and to be unapologetically you. And yeah.
We only have a few seconds left. Time flies by. Emma, are you feeling personally better? I don't like the word empowered, but do you feel better after having this communication with Dr. Cam before we got on the air together, and you making the decision that you made? Is this sounds so cliche, but is life better because of the decision you made?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the eloquent answer. Eric, I know that I know you don't take a step backward, and that's one of the things I really admire about you. And you have such a tremendous rapport, not only with your students, which is incredibly important, but with all of us. And you've taught all of us a lesson. And I think we've learned, all of us, me, the listeners across the country, we've all learned something really important with both of you. No cliches here. We've learned something important, really important, with having you both with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roy, for the time, the space, and the support.
Anytime, my friend. You'll be well, Emma, and you're welcome back here anytime at all.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.